Father, we thank you that you're for us. Father, I pray that you would give us attentiveness, that you would clear our minds from the things that are really kind of useless right now. I pray that you would just calm us, let us focus on you. And Father, I thank you that out of all of the people that we know, all of the family that we know, that the one who is more for us than anybody is you. And I thank you for that. I praise you, Lord, that even when we try to continuously impress you, that you are trying to get across to us that you're for us. And I pray that you would help us to understand that and to digest that. Lord, I pray for your word this morning. I pray that you would take what I'm excited about and make it more palatable for other minds and other hearts besides mine. I got it, Lord, because of the way that you spoke to me. I get it. I pray, Lord, that you might be able to use my mouth and Lord, especially these verses, Lord, I pray that you just bring them alive and let us see them for what they are. And I pray that you would close my mouth when something that doesn't need to come out is about to come out. I pray that you would take us home today, Lord, as people that know who we are, who we belong to, and what that all means. Father, I pray for that person that might be here this morning and they have been wrestling with seemingly good and bad. They've been wrestling with this thing of, do I give my faith to God? Do I believe in God? Do I believe in what he's done for me through Jesus Christ? I pray, Lord, that if there's somebody in here that needs Christ and they don't have a relationship with him, that they might somehow not leave this place this morning without knowing you as their personal Lord and Savior. Father, I praise you for all that you do for us. I pray now that you would take us as Christians and that you would help us to dig into understanding who we are and what we are. Help us to go home relaxed. I love you and I praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated and enjoy this week because I really got to center in on something that should be very special to all of us. And I was reminded this morning of how important it is to take what we have been given and to do the best with it. I was reminded this morning that our sling and stone may be better than the fanciest sword that is available, or the most powerful gun that is available, or the best grenade that I could throw to my Goliath. Maybe my stone and my little sling that's in my pocket will do the job where other weapons might not even get the job accomplished. So I want to look at some verses, and my dream is that you will be challenged. Now, I don't want you to be challenged in a way that makes you feel like, oh no, I've got to get out of here and I've got to do this. I've got to be challenged. The challenge that really I think God wants us to see this morning is how we leave here feeling so comfortable, leave here feeling so satisfied, leave here feeling so equipped and so much in tune with what God wants to do in our life. Now, sort of the message title this morning is The God of Hope. But I really want us to look at faith. What is faith all about? As a matter of fact, let me just ask you this question to get us sort of set, and maybe it'll grab your attention and we can go for a while. And I don't know how long this is going to be, people. We're going to do it until we get through with what God wants to say to us this morning, okay? But I want to ask you this question. How much faith is enough? We're all told to have faith. I mean, we know that we're supposed to have faith, but how much faith is enough? Is it ever enough? I mean, are we put in this sort of tug of war where we never really get that place where it's enough faith, or is it possibly that we have enough faith? I'm asking. I look at some verses here, first in Colossians chapter 2, mainly because it connects us with our self-denial and prayer month. But it also helps us to see that most of us have a vein of skepticism in ourselves. Most of us, whether it be a strong vein of skepticism or it's a smaller vein of skepticism, if we can't put our minds around something, we default to almost just, Paul will allude to it and you'll see it, that there will be people around us that will help us to not have faith. And so let's read these verses together and see what Paul is saying in the book of Colossians. Chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. And it says this, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. In the message that Leslie was reading from last week, it actually says a tapestry of love. That we should be knit together with a strong tie of love. Listen to this. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan. God wants us to have complete confidence in his mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Paul says, I'm telling you this so no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you. And I rejoice that you're living as you should and that your faith in Christ is strong. I appreciate that Paul is giving us some direction here, but at the same time, he is saying to these people, even though I'm far away from you, my heart is with you and I am glad, I rejoice that you are living well. You're living as you should and you have faith in Christ. Sometimes, if we are honest with ourselves, we recognize the human nature because so many of us have been disappointed so many times to almost the point of, well, let's just don't put ourselves out there. Let's don't really believe. It's just easier not to believe in anything or anybody. We've all been there. We've all been to that place where we're just almost in a prayer to God sometimes. We're just in our minds figuring and talking it out with God. You know what? It's just kind of easier for me just not to believe in anything or anyone because then I'm not let down. Paul wants us to be confident in our understanding of God's mysterious plan. Paul wants us to be confident that we can rely on God. Paul wants us to understand God. So the crux of my text this morning is from Romans chapter 4, verses 16 through 25. Romans chapter 4, 16 through 25. I don't know that there is a better book that deals with our faith and what our faith is supposed to be and what our faith might not be than the book of Romans. There's so much that we can learn out of the book of Romans about what God intended for our faith. I'll ask you again, how much faith is enough faith? Let me ask you a different question. How much faith do you have? How much faith do you have? As a matter of fact, you know what? The Bible doesn't even tell us what measurement God measures it by. So nobody can stand up and say, well, I've got G22FQ faith. I mean, we don't even have the measurement. We don't even know how to measure it. So we can't stand up and say, well, I've got this much faith or I've got this much faith. We don't even know what the measurement is. But I believe that we're called to know how much faith God has given us. Romans chapter 4, starting with verse 16. This is why the promise is by faith. We're talking about Abraham here. We're talking about Abraham and Sarah. We're talking about a situation that called for what we would think is massive faith. And starting in verse 16, this is why the promise is by faith. So that it may be according to grace, to guarantee to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of Abraham's faith. He is the father of us all. In God's sight, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He believed in God, who gives life to the dead and calls things into existence that do not exist. He believed, hoping against hope, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what had been spoken. So will your descendants be. He considered his own body to be already dead since he was about 100 years old, and also considered the deadness of Sarah's womb without weakening in the faith. He did not waver in unbelief at God's promise, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God because he was fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore, it was credited to him for righteousness. Now, was not written for Abraham alone, but also for us. It will be credited to us who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was delivered for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Now, as we look at this story that we're given by Paul in Romans, it is a kickback to the Old Testament where we're looking at what happened to Abraham, and we're talking about Abraham's faith. And so we just as well look at the crux of what the Abraham story is all about. How many of you would believe if God came to you, if you are 100 years old, you're 100 years old, how many of you would believe if God came to you and said, not only am I going to give you a baby, but I am going to make you the father of many nations? Hands up if you would believe that. Thank you for your honesty. We are all put in situations where we are in difficult, difficult circumstances. As a matter of fact, I asked you to pray for my wife, and that's a situation that we're in, that we're having to deal with. We've just come out of COVID, and that was a situation that we were in. I think back into the times of my life when there were unbelievable, really unbelievable things that God wanted me to believe in, and whether I believed in it or not is just a side story. Some I did, some I didn't. I want to be honest with you. If God came to me even now, because of the situation with my wife and I, because after we had our two children, God and the doctor said, you can't have any more. So if God came to me in a dream and said, Chip, you know what? Lisa's going to have a baby. I would be like, what? No, there's no way. And so we're looking at a story here, and we can automatically already see that it's going to show us how to have faith when we can't have faith. How is it then that we develop an immovable faith? Do you want that? I do. I want not only for myself and for my family, but when somebody puts me in the ground, I want to be known as somebody that had an immovable faith. I want to be known as somebody who believed in God. How is it then that we're to have an immovable faith? How do we have faith when the situation looks totally impossible? How is it that we're to have faith when we have the worst situation that we could ever be in? How is it that we learn how to walk? Listen to this now. How is it that we learn how to walk step by step by step with faith, not by sight? We're told to do that in the Bible. Walk by faith, not by sight. I don't even want to ask the question. I just want to tell you, it's easier for me to walk by sight than it is by faith. Because my whole makeup says, watch out for what's in front of you, Chip. And as you go down that way, look to see what's in your way. To walk by faith is a totally different thing. It is natural for us to walk by sight. But there should be no difference in those three things that I just talked about. An immovable faith, situations looking impossible, and every step that we take being a step of faith. Faith is this. Faith is this. Now get this. Faith is simply understanding that God is God. That's all faith is. Faith is just understanding this God that I serve is God. God is God. God loved me. He saved me through Jesus Christ. I have a relationship with him now. He has given me faith. And that faith is simply that God is God. His mysterious plan that Paul talks about is Christ himself. We're not called to have faith in faith itself. We're not called to muster up this amazing faith once a week. We're not called to do these circus acts of faith once a month. We are called to understand that faith simply means that God is God. And we find out in Hebrews chapter 11 that not only that, but faith is the reality. Jeremy and I got together the last week and he spouted that one off to me. What a verse. Faith is the reality? Faith is the reality? No, shouldn't that be a little bit different? Shouldn't it be me understanding the reality equals faith? No. What is said in Hebrews chapter 11 is faith is the reality of what is hoped for. It is the proof. It is the evidence of what is not seen. So when we talk about faith, faith is this thing that we don't get a treat for doing. We're not like puppies and God says, okay, here, I want you to have faith. And if we have faith, it's like, well, good boy, good girl. You did good with that faith. That's not what God is wanting us. God is wanting us to be able to understand and to hold it and to carry it with us and not expect to get a treat for doing faith. We get the object of faith. The object of faith is God himself. And so for us to be faithful to God is to get God himself. And we never have to figure out, well, how much faith did I wake up with today? How much faith do I feel like I have today? What if I face a terrible situation? What if I get a bad call today? Am I going to have enough faith? Well, yeah, because we woke up this morning with the same God that we woke up with yesterday morning. We don't just believe in God that he's going to bring about even our vision as a church. You know, we've been talking about over the last few weeks, well, what is our vision as a church? And how are we going to know that God is in our midst? And how are we going to know that God approves of that? Not only is God a God that's interested in our vision as a church, but it's more than that. It's much more than that. God is God. And so we don't need to just believe that God is going to bring about our vision. We need to understand that God is always going to be God. And so whatever little mistake we make or whatever misinterpretation we get or whatever little problem we have, it's all really to the side because God is never not going to be God. When Abraham believed, he didn't simply believe in this difficult promise. Can I just stop there for a second? Because I believe that when we look at this story, that we believe that this is an amazing story. And it was a very difficult promise. It was a very difficult thing for a normal person to believe in. And so what we have here is if we're not careful, we look at the story and we think that God came to Abraham and what he wanted Abraham to believe was that Sarah was going to naturally have a child. Not 100 years old, Sarah's 99, and we look at the story and we expect that what God is saying to us is, if I come to you and I say to you that you are going to, I don't know, whatever. I mean, what can be more out of this world than a 100-year-old, 99-year-old having a child? So in other words, God is saying, I'm not interested in you just believing in a bad situation or an impossible situation. I need you to believe in God and God alone. And so Abraham just simply looked at him, and I'm sure snickered. This is almost one of those things of, really? I just want you to know, God, I believe in you. Now, if truth be known, I don't know that I can impose this, but seriously, how many of us believe that a mortal man just, he's way more than I am, a mortal man that just said, you know what, I believe Sarah's going to have a child. Seriously? I'm trying to come up with some example for us contemporary. I can't come up with one. Impossibility. God is not interested in us just doing the dance of faith. He's not interested in, oh, you believe that I'm going to make your 99-year-old wife have a baby? Here's your treat. No, he's saying, Abraham, I need you to believe me. I need you to believe anything that I say. Anything that I promise you, anything that I say to you, you have me. So I want to look at 3 points that's found in one little section of verse 17. Very quickly, because it's only really in a half a verse. In verse 17, we see that Paul is saying about Abraham that it was God himself that Abraham believed. It was not the promise. It was not a situation. It was not a deliverance. It was not, what are you going to do, God? It was, I believe in God. And so we see right off, what is our faith all about? Our faith is not about believing in difficult situations. Our faith is believing in God, and that he's always there. And no matter if it's small or huge or what size it is, God is always going to be there. We look at this as almost a cruel joke. And we see, how could these people not have laughed? How could these people not have just said, really, really, God? I mean, could you not come up with something more extravagant than that? And here we're understanding that this is the way that God brought about the Jewish nation. God would have to be the source. If God ever comes to you and he gives you one of these kind of scenarios, it's one of those things that you say God would have to be the God. Now, I don't know what the population was. I meant to look it up on my phone right before I got up here. I don't know what the population was in the first century. A few hundred thousand. There was a statement that's made in the Bible, especially, that says this. You can say to this mountain, if you have faith, just a little bit of faith, just faith of the grain of a mustard seed. You can say to this mountain, mountain, be moved into the sea, and that mountain will be moved into the sea. Well, I know this, unless I don't know that I've ever heard of anybody doing that. As a matter of fact, there's that in a very light edition where he also says, if you have the faith, just a little bit of faith, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be cast into the ocean. I really have never even heard of that and seen that. In other words, these things that we see in the Bible are not what God expects us to do. God does not expect you to go out of here. Please don't. Because God says it works. He's not telling you to do this. But please don't mess with our mountains, because we have a tendency to have earthquakes around here. So please do not go out and say, mountain, be moved into the sea. We can find a better way to exercise what God is saying to us here. Okay, so we look and we see what God is wanting us to do is to have faith in him. Have faith in God. And despite the impossibilities, Abraham believes in God. Our faith relies on the reliability of God. Whatever faith you need to have, whatever situation you're going through, what God wants us to know is that our faith only relies on the reliability of God, not on what we think he can perform, not on what we think he can do, not even on what we think that we can do to bring about that kind of faith. The question is this: is our faith centered in how strong our faith can be in us, or is our faith centered on the God who will always be God? Now, here's one I want to slow down for, okay? Because here's one that turned my head. In Luke chapter 17, there is an interaction between God, between Jesus and his apostles. And it is in every version, every interpretation of the book of Luke, it gives us the same Greek word. And listen, okay? How many of us, I don't even want you to raise your hand here, but just let me prep it by saying this. How many of us want additional faith that we don't have already? We want God to fill our vessel a little bit more with faith. Yeah. Let me show you something that happened in Luke chapter 17 with the apostles. Because the apostles said, and what they meant was add to, give us more. The apostles said to Jesus, Jesus, increase our faith. You know what Jesus said? He didn't even answer it. He gave a non-answer. You say, Chip, what do you mean he gave a non-answer? He said to them, he didn't say, okay, well, I'll increase your faith or I won't increase your faith. He said this, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed. He didn't answer their question. They said, Jesus, give us more faith, increase our faith. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, then you can say to this mountain, mountain, be moved into the sea. Think about that for a second. So in other words, Jesus didn't tell them how they could have more faith. Now, there's a man that is, a lot of us, this is our favorite dude. This guy that's got a son that has some serious problems comes to Jesus, and Jesus heals this son with all the problems. And this man says, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Now, this is where I come out. I believe that the apostles had it wrong. I believe that the apostles spoke because, like we've talked about, at the end of when Jesus was on the earth, they were getting a little bit anxious. And so they spoke out of something, and they really wanted Jesus to give them some more faith. What happened with the guy with the son is he identified, you know what? I have been given faith. Please excuse where I can't believe. That's a more honest statement than the statement made by the apostles, give us more faith. Now, why do you say that, Chip? Because in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, right before we hear about the gifts of the Spirit, we hear this. God has distributed, has given to us a measure of faith, each one of us differently. Okay? Stop here for a second. So, the faith that God has given you, whatever measurement that is slightly different than the measurement of faith that God has given me. The faith that God has given me is slightly different than the measure of faith that God has given you. Why? Well, he goes on to say in chapter 12 of Romans, to keep us from being boastful. And I think he did it in a vague way so that it's about like our IQ scores. Many of us don't know what our true IQ score is, and so we can't brag about, well, you know, what my IQ is? My IQ is blah. Until finally they started coming out with ways you could test your IQ and made monsters out of people, or either made people just really almost want to crawl into a hole and die. I mean, you know, it's like, oh, man, I can't believe I took that IQ test, and it was terrible. Or I took that IQ test, and it was out of the roof. I believe God wanted us to know, look, here's the deal. I have given you a measure of faith, and I have given everybody else a measure of faith. And so don't compare measures of faith. Don't compare who's got more faith and who's got less faith. Stop worrying about your faith and start resting in the God of your faith. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that we get caught up in this thing of, well, how much faith can I have? And God tells us, you have been given a measure of faith. Now, can we grow in our faith? Yes. Can we strengthen our faith? Yes. Can we use our faith to the maximum? Yes. But can we get more faith? I don't think so. I think the deal is God has said, I have given you enough to do what I've called you to do. Now do it. Now let's just pretend here, since Leslie's over here sitting by herself, and I like Leslie, and Leslie I hope likes me. Let's say that Leslie's got, let's just make a measurement scale. Leslie's got a 25 in a measurement scale of what we're going to measure faith on. And I've got a 10. Okay? Well, if we exercise our faith, if Leslie exercises her 25 faith, I know it sounds dumb, but if she exercises her faith and I exercise my faith, we can get the job done that God wants us to get done. As a matter of fact, if you want to look at the story of David and Goliath, of being given a sling and a stone, thank you, Jeremy, of being given a sling and a stone, a lot of times the guy with the five faith or with the two faith can do more because he's determined to do the max with his faith than the person that has awesome faith and just doesn't care to use it. Not that Leslie would ever do that. I gave her more faith than me, and I wasn't trying to get to that point. But it really doesn't matter what measurement you think you might find out. Oh, I want to get an IQ faith test from God, and I want God to tell me, all right, Chip, tell me how much, I need to know how much faith I've got. Do I really need to know? Or do I just need to rely on God, that he's always going to be God, that he's always going to do what he promises to do, and that I don't have to really worry about him being faulty and giving me what I don't have and need. He has given me everything that I need. Our faith relies on the reliability of God. The second thing here in verse 17 is that it was the God who gives life to the dead. We're talking about a true and living God who has the power to breathe breath into the dead. No matter how impossible a promise seems, God is always able to fulfill it because he's God. Whatever God promises me, he's able to fulfill it. Whatever God promises you, he's able to fulfill it. He possesses all power. It was the God who speaks things into existence that doesn't really exist. It's the God that in the beginning went through a series of what we call days, and he literally spoke into existence everything that is in existence. And so we're talking about here that Abraham is dealing with the God that can speak anything into existence. So Chip, you've got some problems that you're coming up on. You've got some irritations that you're working through. You've got some deals that doesn't seem like they're the best in the world. Just rely on God, because God is always God. The God that you have got a hold of in Jesus Christ is always God, and he's always going to be exactly what you need him to be. He gives life to the dead. He, he gives existence to things that didn't exist before. God can do what God wants to. So whatever God has promised us, his omniscience prevails over it all. In verse 18 of these verses, it says that Abraham believed, hoping against hope. That's a weird phrase there. It's Abraham hoping against hope. And I think pretty basically it means that Abraham was past hope. Abraham was in a situation that was hopeless. He was in a situation where normally there would be no need to get your excitement up. There would be no need to get excited about what God is promising, because it's basically impossible. He was in an impossible situation, so he was past hope. But it says that he relied on God as his hope. Against hope, he hoped. His situation was beyond hope, but it wasn't beyond God. And so as we look at this, thinking about our situation, thinking about how we walk through life, thinking about what might come up in our deal. I remember times in my life that we have, Lisa and myself, especially when especially when my daughter was born, my granddaughter was born, when my mother-in-law got cancer, when my father got cancer. We just wanted people everywhere to pray for us. But we also sought out certain people. We called certain people. The Bible says that the prayer of a faithful, righteous man or woman availeth much. And so in those kind of times, we try to get in contact with those people. We don't measure their faith. I don't care how much they were given. I care about how much they exercise. And the prayers of these righteous people availeth much because they have faith. Much faith according to the faith that they've been given. So it was this impossible situation that Abraham and Sarah were in. We recognize in this the same couple of barriers that we face. There's probably more, but there's at least two barriers that we face in difficult situations. And Abraham at least faced these two. The first barrier is our circumstance. If we are carried along by our circumstance, we are helpless, hopeless people. I mean, we will get knocked about. We will get down in the dumps. We will get so depressed, we'll be ready to die. We'll get so excited that we'll be ready to live forever. I mean, it's just one of those things that if we go by our circumstances, that is not a roller coaster that we want to ride. We go through circumstances, but in those circumstances, simply put, do we look at our lives and wonder, can anything be done in our situation? Yes, sometimes we are in those kind of situations where we look and say, can anything be done on this situation? My dad had stage 4 colon cancer. My mother-in-law had stage 4 breast cancer. My daughter she had what they call back then Hyaline membrane disease, which meant her lungs didn't develop right and she was not breathing and she went into ICU for days and days and days and on a ventilator. When her daughter finally came, same thing happened. And in all of those situations, there is that thing that sweeps over us that says, how can God do anything in this situation? It's an important point here in these verses because Abraham didn't deny his circumstances. He didn't just say, you know, there's no reason why we can't have, while I can't be the father of many nations. He recognized his situation. He faced the fact that he and Sarah's bodies were as good as dead. He even said it, you know, we're as good as dead, reproductively speaking. I don't think there are going to be a lot of babies come out of this togetherness. This has got to be a thing of God. And so he considered his situation. He focused on his issue, but he didn't solve it with his own interpretation. That's where we are. We are wrong to deny our situation. Let's say today that there might be somebody here already in a bad situation. God doesn't want us to deny our situation. God doesn't want us to play like it's not there. What God wants us to do is say this, you know what? Here's my situation. Here's my God. My God can take care of this, whatever the situation is. Us as a church, if we want to examine our church, we can say, God, here's the situation of our church. Here's our God. I wonder which one wins. God can always do what God needs to do. And God will do what God needs to do. Whatever the situation, we don't need to deny the situation, but we don't need to solve it through our own interpretation. Abraham did not waver in unbelief at God's promise. This is important. Faith is not ignoring or denying our circumstances. We fully face the situation and our believing God. Now, I don't know what your answer would be about that, how hard that is. For me, it's very difficult. For me to look at some of the situations that I find myself in, that I find my family in, that I find the people that I love in, that I find people around me in. It's very hard. Just imagine being like Abraham, to know God so well, to know God so well that he could tell you something totally impossible and you would look back at him and say, if you say it, I got it. If you say it so, it's so. If you say this, then I will believe your promise. And so we've got the data here that Abraham believed his promise without being shaken, afraid, or anxious one bit. Would I be shaken, afraid, or anxious? I hate to say, yeah. So do I need to strengthen my measurement of faith? Yes. I would imagine that all of us, as we sit here, can see out of Abraham that, yeah, you know what? I don't know how much faith I was meted out. I don't know how much faith God measured me out. But I sure need to make sure that it's working on all cylinders. I sure need to make sure that it's clicking not like it needs to be clicking. I need to make sure that the faith that I've been given is being returned to God in what he expected. Because God gave me what I needed. He knew that this situation was going to come up. So evidently, he just needed me to react in the way that he knew that I could react. The second barrier that we can face is what I will just call our gambling mentality. And what our gambling mentality is this, and listen to this, because it tells about us. It's the odds. Okay, what are the odds that God's going to come through? What's the real possibilities? When our situation looks bad, our gambling faith would say, you know what? God can do anything, but don't bet on it. I hate to say that that's what we do a lot of times. We aren't going to say that we don't believe in God, but we're going to make excuses for God. And we're going to say, you know what? You know what? God can do anything that he wants to do. Yeah, but I, you know, don't bet on it on my deal, because there's been several things I can't explain, and I've called on God and it didn't seem like he came through. So don't bet on it. There's a real deal. And then there's kind of a plastic faith. What the reality is, not in this gambling mentality, it's not how strong is our faith that we've been given, but it is the difference between faith or no faith. If we're basically saying God can do anything, but I wouldn't count on him to do anything in this situation, then basically that's no faith. That's actually what God said to the apostles when they came to him. He said, no, it's because you have so little faith. And we talked about that. I don't know if it was in lockdown or if it was when we first got back. He talked about the little faith. Basically, he was saying, look, you basically don't have any faith. And that's not, I'm not saying that to any of us, because most of us have accepted Christ. We do have a measurement of faith. God has promised that he can do everything that he says. Has God promised me anything? Well, sure. If we're Bible readers, we can go through our Bible and know and see what God has promised us. Let's reiterate what happened in Abraham. He didn't get hung up on the promise. He got hung up on the fact that God is God and God is going to do what he wants to do for me, giving me these promises. Abraham didn't know, however, what method God would use, but he knew that God was able to do what God willed for us. So whatever situation you're in right now, God can do what God wants to do. Can it be as amazing as a 99-year-old having a bunch of babies? Yeah, it can be that amazing. Whatever God wants to do and needs to do, he can do. So let me close just with the reading of one more little bit of scripture. Romans chapter 8. These three verses, 26 through 28. In the same way, the Spirit also joins to help in our weakness. Okay? I mean, God is saying, look, I'm going to give you a measure of faith. I'm going to give you a certain amount of faith. I also want to remind you that you need to be at your best in that faith, that you need to strengthen that faith, that you need to grow in that faith. And then in Romans chapter 8, it says for us that the Spirit is there to help us in our weakness. The Spirit will fill in the gaps because we do not know what to pray for as we should. We come to God and we don't even know what to pray for because God is doing these amazing things in our life and we don't really have the words to say to God sometimes. We don't even know what to pray for, but it is the Spirit Himself that intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. And He who searches the hearts knows the Spirit's mindset because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. That's the broader picture of where that verse 28 verse goes. It's talking about the Spirit is the one that's going to intercede for us. The Spirit is the one that's talking to God for us. I told you a story. I want to read one more quick verse to you out of the Old Testament. Is God always with us? Is God always there? Is God always wanting his faith to come back to Him as He expected? Does God want us to live at our fullness? Does God want us to look at situations and just say, hey, God's with me, I'm going through this situation? Does God want us to be anxious and to worry? Or does God want us to have our minds and our eyes on Him, knowing that there's nothing that can happen to us that He's not there for? And so, listen to what that says. We can go home today and we can lay down on the couch on this dreary day with a fire in the fireplace and just sit there out of sheer bliss and say to our God and say to everybody, you know what? God's with me. I don't care what happens. God knows what's happening and God is going to take care of things. And whatever situation I'm in or I'm going to be in or I find myself in a scary place, God is with me. And so I can lay here and I can just say, you know what? Thank you, God. Thank you that I don't need to jump through hoops. Thank you that I don't need to do tricks. Thank you that I can just rely on the fact that you're always going to be God and that you're always with me and that you're never going to leave me and that I'm always taken care of. There's my faith. And so whether it is a 10 or a 25 or a L16 or whatever the version is, our faith given back to God is just what God wanted because God is there for us. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2, he says this, I will be with you when you pass through the waters and when you pass through the rivers. They will not overwhelm you. When you will not be scorched when you walk through the fire and the flame will not burn you. So whatever we face, whatever's coming up, God promises us, I'm going to be there with you. You know the importance of messages like this? You know the importance of going and finding out what is it that God says about faith? Because sometime this month, one of us is going to get some very bad news. Whatever that news is, we as your family want to pray and be with you in that situation. Whatever situation happens to you, we want to be there for you. But the most important thing is God's already there. And no matter what happens, no matter what situation we face, no matter, God is already there and God says, just let me be God. And that's all I require of you is just to understand that I love you, I care for you, and like the song says, I've got your best interest in mind. I favor you. You're mine. I think that's something we can all go home and take a nap about. Father, I thank you so very much for your love for us. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us what we need in the Bible to understand that we simply need to serve you. We simply need to give you back what you have given us. We don't need to come and complain and whine about the fact that we need something else to be able to please you, something else to be able to bring before you, something else that is, Lord, I think about David, and David wouldn't take the borrowed sacrifice, because David said, it has to be for me. So Father, I thank you that that all goes together for me, that all that it all just falls together, that no matter what situation that I find myself in, and these my friends here, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, our God is always going to be God. And we praise you for that. And we thank you for loving us. Lord, I pray for that one person that might be in here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I pray that this might be the day that they see that the faith that they have is the faith they've been given to give back to God and believe in Jesus Christ. We love you and we praise you in all that you do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.